Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I'm Stephen Leng.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, Stephen Leng? Welcome back.
Oh, good. Thank you. Yes. I had a lovely time in Sweden, doing lots of Swedish things, like walking in the snow and drinking coffee. And it was really, really lovely. And I bought lots of tat as well, which my friends were all like, oh Christ. I found the charity shop area of Stockholm and like was like going through everything, and all my friends like left me to it.
What is the thing you buy? Now, we've had this conversation before. You're one of these people that you have a certain... are you a magnet guy?
Yeah, definitely a magnet. Always got to get a magnet. But I just love tat. My flat is full of things. I think we've discussed this before. You and I are basically opposites when it comes to design choices. Because my flat is like, I just love stuff. And I try constantly to like clear it out. And I maybe throw out like two things and I'm like, okay, I'm done now.
You're like aerial. Your flat's like aerial.
Yeah, it is. It is a little bit. So I bought a whole bunch of rubbish from the charity shops. I bought plates with Swedish churches on them. I bought little bowls shaped like avocados. I bought a shirt.
So you're very cultured. I like that. Mine's just square habitat plates.
I mean, actually, no, I haven't even taken, I mean, done anything with them that you can look. Looks like something your grandma would have, doesn't it? Like,
yeah, I look at that and I think intelligence and culture.
What, a blue and white plate? A blue and white little sandwich plate?
That's coming from me, remember. But I think that's a clever person's house. If I was in yours or I was watching an episode of Through the Keyhole, I'd say that's intelligence.
Well, I mean, I'm pleased you think that, but I think it's more like a hoarder, like a syndrome or a problem.
How was the lecture? Did you go to it?
We didn't go to it, but I'm actually kind of annoyed we did it because we didn't land till about sort of 5-ish, and the lecture was at 7. And we kind of got back to the hotel and got to the hotel for the first time. We were like, are we going to go? This could be really embarrassing. Let's just go find a gay bar. Then we looked online and like loads of the Eurovision performers like turned up to this lecture, and it was like this whole fan thing.
Was you crying into your avocado shaped bowl?
No, just in the church ones, actually. We didn't do that, but we did do lots of other stuff. I will say one thing. Now, I've got in trouble on this show before for upsetting. I've upset some Italian people before, but I'm going to upset some Swedish people now, because the Swedes we met were not friendly. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, no. What do you mean? In what way?
Well, so, I mean, this is really, there was only two experiences. So it's not like I can brand all of Sweden with the same, or all of Stockholm probably, with the same brush. But this is the kind of level, like, I felt like so we went to this stadium to watch the final of this TV program filming that we basically went there to watch called Melody Festivalen, which is where Sweden picked their Eurovision entry. Big, huge show, big family show. There's probably like 15,000 people in this arena. It's massive. And we were right up in the gods. And sitting behind us was a row of entirely of children, young children, right? Like, I'm guessing between the ages of sort of 4 and 9, like that sort of age, mix of boys and girls. And they were all fine. They were having a great time. They were like screaming and shouting. And then one tapped me on the shoulder, like while we were sitting down. Now, obviously I don't speak Swedish, obviously. No. So I turned around and this girl said something to me in Swedish, and she pointed in front of me. So I was like, right, I didn't know what she said, but obviously she's looking for something or like some. So I was looking around, couldn't find anything. It was dark. So I talked on my phone. I was like looking around. She said something to me again. I looked at the woman next to me who was Swedish speaker, she was there with her husband. She could not have turned any quicker away from me to avoid having to like deal with this situation. But the funny thing is that we were looking at the stage down that way, right? She was looking at the stage. As she could see I was turning to look to her, she literally turned her entire body away from me and the stage. And I was like,
oh, so subtle then.
Yeah, right. And I was like, do you know what? This is not only you can tell I'm English. I'm here with like four other English people. And there is a child in distress. Can you not give me some assistance here? No, wasn't interested at all. So I was desperately trying to find a parent in a crowd of people that I don't understand and I can't speak the language. Anyway, in the end, it was all fine. It really sort of made me like, I've heard about this thing about people in Stockholm being a little bit not that welcoming to tourists. And I definitely felt it with her. And then there was a couple of times being served in a bar where people were a bit like, are you ignoring us on purpose because we can't speak Swedish? But yeah, I mean, other than that, stunning trip, had a brilliant time.
Other than that, did you manage to sample any other Swedish delicacies whilst there?
Well, if you're referring to the men, no. It's the short, long and short of it. Although, I tell you what, I did... it's my first trip abroad without drinking, and I stayed up until 4. We went out one night until 4 a.m. and I was like, I was dancing, I was there, I was having a great time. I never ever thought I'd be able to do that without a couple of beers in me, but it was actually completely fine.
You go back, or has that experience left you a little bit tinged?
No, definitely would go back. I mean, on the whole, people were really nice, but I think it was just, you know, when you have a couple of like, that's a really awkward experience, and like, I really could have done some help and no one was prepared to help me.
Did you ever get to the bottom of what the little girl wanted?
Yeah, she'd lost her, so she had a banner with like a name of the person who she wanted to win. And I think being young, she didn't quite understand what had happened, but she dropped it down the back of my seat. She thought it was in front of me. Anyway, we all found it. And then she spoke English to me. I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. This 5-year-old girl is like, who is this embarrassing adult that can't speak any foreign language? She was like, thank you very much at the end. I was like, oh God, that's so cute. Bobby, I have to, before we move on quickly, you were all over the Mail Online, this photo shoot you did. you were the colour of this shelf I've got in the background. That was a particular kind of teak you were at the time. But you looked amazing in these photos. What was that all about?
Thank you, babe. So I decided to do like a little 6-week transformation. I mean, you know I love my training.
Yeah.
But I wanted to just put my mind to something, right, I'd found these products for life. I'm going to see what I can do in 6 weeks. And, that's pretty much where Bobby's Body Blitz kind of started, really. So
amazing.
I know what you mean. I had a nice little spray tan, which was relatively still subtle compared to a few years ago. Some of the spray tans I used to have back in the day. But thank you. It's very kind of you.
Yeah, you look great.
It always still, even though I know how we used to have so many countries and stuff, so I was just literally looking at my phone before we started recording, and I'm getting messages from so many like UK, lovely fans and followers, but so many parts of America and Australia, which is, it's just, it's still mad to get my head around like 11, 12 years on. But thank you everyone that's listening, everyone who's reached out. It's very, very kind of you. But like I've said to you before, for me, training, I started pretty late in the game. It wasn't until lockdown that I'd started. But it is just really good for my head. And when I put my mind to something, it makes me feel good.
Well, it is kind of proof as well. You can start at any age, right? Like, absolutely. you don't have to be 21 or 17 even to start training and doing things. You started later in life and you're reaping the rewards now. Yeah, you were 22. yeah, and you look great. So well done. You should be really proud of yourself.
Thank you, Bob. Yeah, thank you, Bob, who's reached out. It's really kind. And yeah, slide into the old DMs, guys, if you're listening. With a hashtag Bobby's playing. So many people's like, you know, I think I built up this phobia of going into a gym because I never come from any kind of sports background. Mm-hmm. My Saturdays were pretty much spent in River Island, Oxford Street, Top Man, RIP.
Yeah, very sad.
That no longer exists. I'd never had any kind of fitness background or sports interests, or I literally started from nothing. And I think a lot of people that start sports and fitness from a young age always develop some kind of muscle or fitness because just regardless if you've ever been into a gym.
Yeah.
So when people reach out and go, yeah, it's actually just really inspiring to see someone who's kind of transformed and hasn't always done that and isn't like a traditional person that you'd think has lived in a gym since he was 16.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice because, you know, if one person just feels that they can, because I remember being that one person, they feel like I can never do that. So yeah, if you put your mind to something, guys, but again, it doesn't have to be, it can be anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's my thing in life now. I've kind of got to this stage. I'm like, just feel the fear and do it anyway. And a lot of us are so hard on ourselves and don't go out of our comfort zone.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you just got to do that.
Yeah. 100%. And you've done it. Look at you now. Well, we don't actually have much time for any showbiz goss right at the beginning of the show. Maybe we'll try and pack some in at some other point because our first guest from Love Island 2015, the first series, I mean, it feels like a million years ago now, doesn't it, really?
Doesn't it? And the first winner.
Yeah, we have Jess Hayes ready to come in. So let's get her in. Just to flag as well, we also have Ashleen coming up afterwards. And then from this series, Martin Akinola. So, yeah.
Hi.
Hey.
There we go.
How have you been, babe? Good to see you.
Oh, my God. Last time I saw you was in Ibiza. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
I've been good. Seems...
Where does the time go? You're looking so well.
Oh, thanks, babe. Thanks. How are you? You're looking amazing, by the way. Congrats on your, like, I love it.
Amazing. Thank you, darling. Thanks for joining us on the show tonight. It's lovely to have you on.
Right.
We wanted to talk off-air with so many things I want to talk to you about, but can't talk about Love Island because it just finished. Did you watch the series? And what's your thoughts compared to being an OG doing series one? And the queen, shall we say, to now seeing how it is now, does it still feel like the same show or has it changed a lot?
God, absolutely not. Do you know what? It's so different now. I really enjoy it in the summer, but there's something about the winter one. I'm not drawn to it. Does that make sense? Like, it's on, but I forget it's on. So I'm really rubbish with the winter one. I can't lie. And yeah, I think... Do you know what? It's just not, it isn't the same anymore. There's been so many series. I just feel like it hasn't got that realness anymore. Do you know what I mean? It's just not, it hasn't got that anymore. And you had, like, you know, your Molly Mays, your Ekin-Sues, like, you got some really standout series with, like, really memorable people. But I just feel like, maybe a little change of something, because it's very same every year. I don't know. Maybe I'm just getting older and I'm just like, I feel like really old watching it now. And I was like 22 when I went on.
Like, what do you put that down to, though? Do you think that's because reality TV is no longer like the new kid on the block now? Or is it that people are becoming a lot more clued up on the game to play now? Because I think when we look back, like,
yeah,
the first Love Island, Terry, when it's like all these reality shows, when they first start, none of us went into them wanting following influencer, wanting brand deals, because that just wasn't on
the cards. We didn't know, did we? We just had no.
just went really into know. The shit and giggles.
Yeah, literally.
And I think people are a lot more savvy now.
Mm. They just want that. They go in and they're like, right, I'm going to get the PLT deal. I'm going to get like this and that and this and that. And it's more like a business plan, a game plan, isn't it? Really? Like, you know, you're going to get the followers. And that's kind of taken away the whole innocence of it, the realness. It's not the same anymore. It's not. Yeah.
Do you think that's a sad thing for someone that's done it and lived it in its reality days, do we say? Because I think as reality TV's evolved now, I think compared to what used to be reality TV when, no shade, but when reality was like real, real, to almost the point, I think that I don't even know if you could get away with the realness that reality used to be nowadays.
Yeah, you can't, can you? It's like when I think about what we did and the things we said and the things they showed, like, you know, we were just like on there, like smoking 40 fags a day, like, just like airing all of that. And now it's very innocent, like, oh, you know, we can't say this, we can't show this, and because you offend people, and it's just not got that excitement and edge to it anymore. Yeah.
Does it feel like a lifetime ago for you now? Because I didn't realise, I mean, 2015 does feel like a lot has happened in the world since then.
Honestly, like, yeah.
And for you personally as well.
I look back and I think, like, who is that 22-year-old girl? Like, I don't even recognise her, like, her personality, who she was. And, yeah, like, 1,000,000%, I'm a mum now, so mm-hmm. I've changed so much, but yeah, I don't even recognize that girl. And to be honest, I wish I had the same head on me that I do now, like then, because of the choices I could have made and things like that. But look, life's a learning curve, isn't it? You just don't know. And that's why I do worry sometimes for people going on reality TV, is that you go in, you're so young, you're so naive, and you haven't got that sensible head on your shoulders. And I do worry with that, because I know for me, like, I had so many ups and downs. And yeah, it's not always easy. Yeah.
Because you've spoken out since leaving the villa, and you kind of hit a bit of a rock bottom in there, didn't you? Did you?
Yeah.
How did you feel with that after? Was it a lot? Because obviously life changes, especially on a show like that, because you don't have your phone, you've got no access to the internet or anything. So for you guys, you go into this villa, have no contact with the outside world, you come out, probably get your phones back, everyone knows who you are.
Yeah.
Was that even when your life, that happens and you're in the outside world and you can see it a week later, it's a strange thing. But for that to happen like 6 weeks down the line and you're like, shit, what's everyone saying? Like, there's real no preparation for that.
No, and it's scary. Like, you literally, because especially for us, we had no idea that anyone was going to be watching it. I remember doing it and they were like, oh, you know, it might be a good show, it might not be. Like, we had no clue. I felt like I was just like, I felt like I was in a dream. Does that make sense? Like, it was just like that bubble and no phones, no contact to the outside world. I forgot there was even an outside world. I forgot that even existed, which was crazy. And that's the thing. Like, I just feel like you come out and you don't know how to navigate all this attention, all this fame, all the trolls, the fact that you're suddenly in the media all the time and you're getting, you know, packed here, there and everywhere. And, oh, you got to do this to do this and, you know, stay relevant and things like that. And it's a lot to take on. It's so young and your life changes overnight and you need to kind of remember where you come from. But it's so hard because you're so wrapped up in it all. Yeah. It's a bit crazy.
So you kind of put the nail on the head, and I literally posted saying a day or two ago on social media saying something similar. You know, when you must get, like, if you see old photos on social media, whether it's like a patch shot or a meme or one of your episodes or a clip on YouTube, when you see that 22-year-old girl, and I know you've kind of asked already by going, you wish she had your head now, you kind of want to reach out to her and help her? Because I kind of look at, I was 24 at the time, gosh, if I could, I want to help him. Do you know what I mean? Because you're kind of watching, and it's a strange thing years later, having the benefit of age, I guess, and then looking back and the experience of living it. Do you find that?
Oh my God, so much. Like, I recently did the show, Life After Love Island, and I was talking about it then. And just how, yeah, I wish I could literally say, like, like be a mentor and be like, no, Jess, don't do this. Like, please don't do this. Like, even just like, just everything, every little thing about it. Like, you know, whether it's like the financial side, the work side, you know, who to work with, not to work with, you know, things to protect your mental health. Like, I just feel there was really no guidance whatsoever, not for us anyway, because I think in the early days, the support wasn't as good as you probably know as well. I know they've improved on things like that, but there was no direction, no guidance, no real support on what the hell we're doing. We just got to roll with this fame and, you know, do what you want with it. But yeah, off you go, hon. Off you go on your little journey. God, I wish I could have helped her. I really do. Yeah.
If you could go back and you could help her with one thing, what's the one thing that stands out? What would you do for 22-year-old Jess?
Oh, gosh. I think I would just be like, just follow... Don't worry about what you think you should be doing or what other people should think you're doing. Like, follow your dreams and your passions. Don't try and chase something that you think you should be doing. I think as well, and I did a lot where I was reading, you know, like the papers, the magazines and, you know, online and things, and people were like saying, oh, you know, she's really big. And, you know, I started messing around with like the way I looked and stuff as well. And just to say to her, like, look, you don't need to change anything about yourself. You're trying to keep up with appearances here to impress other people that don't freaking matter. They don't matter. So just leave yourself alone and be you. And yeah, that, because you do that as well. Yeah. That'd be so much.
Well, I was going to say, do you think motherhood's changed you in that way? Like, you start to view your own, how you view yourself differently in things?
Oh my God, yeah. I think motherhood saved me, like, so much. Like, I feel like I got to this point after the show where, you know, I was in a relationship and everything was all great, but I just didn't know where I was going. I felt really lost, and I hit a really, really rock bottom low point, you know, where the, you know, everything starts to slow down, and it's been a few years. And I think for me, it came at the right time, and it really saved me from going down like the wrong paths and things like that, if I'm being totally honest. And you view yourself differently, you know, you watch your body grow, then you're left with, you know, you don't look perfect like you did before. You have the stretch marks and your body isn't the same. You feed your child. And then I think that makes you look at yourself differently. You're like, okay, this is what I was meant to do. Like, you know, this expectation isn't realistic. Like, I still do it now. I still use the old filter. And I think, God, you really shouldn't do that, Jess. Like, come on. But it's helped me so much, honestly, because do you know what? Those, when you're a mum, those things are irrelevant. Like, they really don't matter. Like, you're more interested in focusing on your child. And yeah, those things are irrelevant really in life. Yeah.
And did you used to feel a constant pressure, whether it was in terms of filters or tweakments? Because again, you come off big reality TV shows and people go, oh, come into the clinic and I'll do this for you and you can have that done. Which you probably would never have gone down that path and had, I mean, if it was financially an option, but when people are saying you can have it for free, did you kind of go down that rabbit hole a little bit?
Oh, massively, really badly. So when I went on the show, I had nothing done, not even a lip filler, not even Botox. As soon as I come out, I was comparing myself to people online, scrolling, and I was like, I want to look like her. I went and got the lips, you know, the cheeks, the Botox. God, what else did I do? I just wanted to be like this perfect doll face. I wanted that. And I just got completely sucked in with it all. And yeah, you've got these aesthetic places going, you know, I'll offer you this for a collab, and you take it and you take it. I've had people, you know, you've probably had it as well, babe, like people offering you like surgery in Turkey, like saying, oh, do you want this BBL? Do you want this boob job? Do you want this? Do you want that? And it's actually quite scary, but 100% went down that rabbit hole and really regretted it so much. I didn't even recognize myself in the end. Like, I'm out of that now, but yeah, it was bad.
I think, and when you start a lot of these tweakments, and I'd never had anything before the show, I was 24 when I started, and I mean, I was always conscious. I have a very deep line in my forehead, which one of my exes used to tell me about all the time, not in a nice way. So I was always a bit conscious of that. When someone said, "Oh, do you want a bit of Bowie?" I mean, that was a bit more professional. They didn't word it like that, obviously. But I was like, absolutely. But you have a little bit of this and that. And then, especially when it comes to fillers, and you go, come for a top up in, and you get used to your new normal, don't you? So it's not until when I think it was only Christmas 2 years ago. And I'd seen pictures and coming out of the back of lockdown where so many things had been repeated on ITV2 and ITV other numbers. And I was almost watching my life flash out, bearing in mind we hadn't left the house for weeks. So I'd watched myself go from 24 and I'd watched this saying, and I looked at my face and I thought, oh my God. And I just never, because we wake up, we jump in the shower, you brush your teeth, you cleanse your face, but you don't notice it every morning. And it's not until your life kind of flashes before you over the course of like 8 hours sat on the sofa and deep into a Pringles box. And I thought, what have I done? It's, I've got to knock it on the head. But you can see how people do kind of get stuck in that rut. And whatever makes people happy, of course, do you? I'm not here throwing shade at that, because we've all done it. And it, as long as it's what you want and it makes you happy. But for me, I definitely lost sight of where I'd gone with it, to the point I no longer looked like me, and I knew that weren't a look I wanted anymore.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I'm all for, trust me, like, I'm 30 this year and I'm like, I'm on all that Botox. I don't want a wrinkle in sight. I have my boobs done because I breastfed my son for like 2 years and they were like, not in a good way. But, so I had to do that. But you do. I went too far at the beginning and I just looked like a doll. And it was like, no, this is not okay. You can't see it. Your mind is like warped, isn't it? Like, it's not good.
And I think there was that year, because what was your 2015 you did?
Yeah, do you know what? You're so right, because I feel like now everyone's like going the natural, like everyone's like, oh, getting all of it taken out. And you're right, like it wasn't, there was no sort of awareness around it then, and people were just like, let's go. It was like to have big lips was like the thing, wasn't it? So we all just done it.
We all just did it. A lot of us were kind of closed at that kind of era from like 2010 to maybe, I don't know when it kind of ended.
The Twitter days.
Everywhere it was cheeks, it was lips. I had the big tattooed eyebrows. But the tag, I'd have like three layers. I'd go, I'll have another layer of that. And everything was to the excess. That all wasn't an option then.
Different times now.
Fashion's changed, didn't they? That kind of was, Phil's calling it a fashion, but that was almost the trend of that time. But when you see pictures of them, of us and Patrick's at that time, you can kind of very much date when they was taken.
Because
so many similar.
Things change so fast. It's crazy. God, what will be the trends like in the next 5 years? Do you know what I mean?
Please, guys, don't end up down the the cosmetic surgery again, because, you know, I don't know what the new trend would be. What could it be? You've tried everything now, wouldn't you, at this rate?
It's got the complete opposite, isn't it? I think kind of natural's in, which is nice. It is. So, but yeah, that will change.
So, it's the BBLs that scare me. You know, the BBLs, like, they're so risky as well. Oh, just scares me. Sorry.
Times, isn't it? Because I think back to, did you say you're turning 30 this year?
Yeah.
So you're a couple of years older than me. No joking. I'm 36. But I remember from my generation of girls and girls in my class and my year, it completely proves that things do change. A lot of girls wanted their boobs done and have gone on to have boob jobs. All girls wanted the boobs at school. Not all, but the majority.
Yeah.
I can't remember one girl ever going, I want a bum. I want a big bum. Whereas now, I don't know if that's slowly decreasing a little bit.
They've all, like, have you seen, like, everyone that had the big BBLs and stuff, they're all going the other way now. It's like, yeah, we're not going to be able to keep up with these trends.
Yeah. It'll change so quickly that by the time you've recovered from your surgery or whatever, the travel have gone out. Yeah. honestly, this has been a really great chat. We've unfortunately run out of time, Jess. So thank you so much for joining us. We didn't even get around to say congratulations on your engagement. Congratulations.
How is the lovely man?
Yeah, he's amazing. Yeah, things are really good. Really good. It's going to be a good year.
You're going to be spending this year wedding planning, I'm assuming.
Yeah, definitely soon. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Is it this year? Have you got a date booked?
Not yet. I'm thinking I really want to get married in Italy, in Lake Como.
Oh, nice.
Something really like romantic and lovely. Just something a little bit different, you know?
Sounds lovely.
Oh, that'd be lovely. I reckon time for a cheeky Ibiza holiday before then, though.
Oh my God, yeah, definitely. You'll be getting
same time this
don't worry.
Yeah.
all right, Jess, well, thank you so much for speaking to us. We really appreciate it.
And you guys, thanks so much.
Take care. Bye, cheers, darling.
Bye. What a lovely lady. Nice. Yeah,
so really lovely. Nice.
And such interesting and really good point about the surgery stuff, about how it's all kind of going out of fashion. And in 15 years, I'm sure it'll all come back round again.
It'll probably all come back round tenfold.
We'll be too old by then, Bob. We don't want to end up looking like, I don't know.
Talk for yourself.
I can't wait to see what you look like then. Right, our next guest, Aisling, is in the waiting room, so let's get her in.
Let's do it. Hello, darling. How are you, Ash?
Hi.
Nice to see you.
You sick bastard.
Thank you, babes. You look a vision in fuchsia.
Oh, thanks, babe. Well, I thought I'd match my tan. I burnt myself on the sunbed a little bit, not going to lie.
You always bring the glam. How you been, girl?
Yeah, really good. Really, really good.
Tell us, what you've been up to? You're always a busy girl, always grafting. I love it.
Yeah, do you know what? I have a beauty aesthetic shop now, so I do that. And I can also teach, so I teach that. What else have I done? I just done the challenge. Did you see that?
How was that?
Babe, honestly, I thought, I'm the queen of reality TV. I'm a veteran out here, but I don't need to be fit. Well, not that fit. I'm sort of fit. I'll be all right. My comedy, my humour, my personality and my big tits, that'll get me through. Did it, S.
Yeah, the challenge is like a whole different level, isn't it?
Like, and they have no respect for your celebrity, let me tell you something. You could be Madonna up in there and they wouldn't care. Like, it is what it is. It is a challenge. Like, it is really, really, really difficult. Everything that you watch, everything that you see, that's exactly how it is. It was grueling. I was vomiting. And you saw what happened to Lockie's face, right?
Yeah, smashed up. Was that the hardest? And like you say, you've done a lot of the reality shows, babes. Is that the hardest you've ever done? Does anything compare to that? Because I've heard it's a fucking hard slog, that one.
Yeah, no, nothing. And I was over the moon that I was the first out. And that is not a lie. When they gave me my interview, they interviewed me and Lockie together, and Lockie was like, oh, you know, like male bravado thing, like, oh, yeah, I'm gutted, kind of really wanted to carry. I was just standing next to him like this. And the producer was like, Aisling, you don't seem as upset as Lockie. I was like, no, I'm really happy to be going. It's really, really, really hard, really grueling. Like, respect to anyone that gets past the first round, to be honest.
So did you go in there, I mean, not that you can really have a game plan with a gig like that, but did you always kind of have the mentality, I'm happy to go early doors?
Kind of. So you know what check you're getting. You would prefer to go to the end and win the big check. But actually, if you're not going to get right to the end, you're better off going out, first of all, if I'm honest, because especially at my age and my level of fitness, I was really glad to be out. But what happened was I'd not long had a miscarriage, right? So I'd not long had a miscarriage. So I hadn't been training. And then when I saw Lockie's face, when he hit the water and immediately came up and it was like burst and bleeding, and I was having visions of me going over and hitting my, I hit like a belly flop. I was having visions of like bursting my womb open. And obviously it was irrational. Well, I was thinking, oh, I'm being irrational. It's not going to happen. Like that, that would never happen. But I thought, I know, if I just sit on this girl and make sure that she don't go over or I don't go over, that means I'm not going over. I thought, I'm just going to sit on her. So I did for three rounds, which they didn't show. Mark Wright kept going, Ashley, get off her now.
I love your thinking, though. Savvy girls. That's a savvy move.
What?
That's a savvy move. I like your thinking.
And apparently it looked like a soft porn. That's what the boys said. So, but
that doesn't sound like you at all, Ashley. No, I'm really surprised.
I did not get wet, and nor did she.
I bet a lot of the boys were secretly loving it.
Yeah, I think so. Because it was like I was riding, like, woo-hoo, you're not going nowhere.
So now that's over with. I mean, I guess you probably filmed that last year, right?
Last year.
Yeah. So, what have you got planned coming up this year? Anything exciting?
Well, doing that made me realise that I need to get my fitness levels up more. So I've started back at the gym because last year was a difficult year for me in many ways. So now it's just all about focusing on being the best version of myself that I can be and taking time out for me because I do a lot of loving. Like, that sounds wrong. I wish, but I love a lot of people. And then sometimes I forget to love myself in the process. Mm-hmm. So I fix a lot of people without going into details, but I do, I help a lot of people, like in family and friends, and I kind of forgot to look after myself in that process, and I became sort of a shell of myself last year. So now I'm just learning to love myself a little bit more and take time out and go to the gym and eat healthier and cut back on the drinking.
Yeah, I saw you post on social media. Didn't you go to your first like event without drinking or something?
Yeah.
I'm on like a bit of a booze-free journey at the moment. So I'm kind of, whenever I see anyone else doing it, I'm like, I'm interested. I like want to hear about it.
Yeah, like, well, it was fine. I thought I wouldn't be okay, but I was absolutely fine. I was diagnosed as well last year with ADHD, some kind of severe ADHD. So I've got like, I don't know, I've got enough within me to not need a drink. Like I've got that, I don't know what it is. I've got something that means that I don't need to have a drink. Like I've got the type of personality that doesn't need to drink is what I'm trying to say.
Well, you can like chat with people. You're very good in a crowd, right? Like you can you don't need to be drunk to be confident. Like you're not that kind of person. Yeah.
Yeah. But with these ADHD tablets as well, they're like amphetamine based. And the last thing you want to do is mix amphetamine with.
Yeah.
I'm not really here for that.
Yeah, fair.
Ash, I wanted to ask you, and you've spoke about it publicly, you're absolutely smashing it on OnlyFans. do you love having that social media platform and that outlet to just do what... Is that quite liberating for you?
Well, what it was, yeah, babe, when I was doing glamour modelling back in the day, like the men in the suits would own my pictures and get all the money from it. Whereas now I own my pictures and I get all the money for it. So it's me in control of my image. So I mean, I've always say Instagram's for my females and OnlyFans is for my males. And some guys just go on there and they just want a little chit chat. So I'm happy to do that over there. But yeah, I suppose it is liberating in a way, but you have to be careful. You have to find a balance between, you have to go on there and know exactly what it is that you're willing or wanting to do and not go past that, because it's easy to sort of get into a downward spiral when people are like, oh, well, I'll offer you 50 quid to hear your fart.
And you're like, well, I'll put it towards a new handbag or whatever, you know.
But yeah, no, it is, Bobby, to answer your question, it is liberating. Yeah, you're right. That is a good word for it.
What's your level? Where are you at? So you ain't farting for 50 quid. What's your cutoff?
Yeah.
Some people go all the way, don't they?
You'd have to join and find out.
I mean, what you're selling, I'm not buying. I love your bones, but you'd have to be a lot on there for my subscription fee, I'll tell you. Although I'm sure you look lovely on there.
Thanks, babe. What I'm doing now is running a school for girls as well. I don't know if you know about it, but I'm doing a school because I think it's important. A lot of, when I went on there, I was blind, but I didn't know what I was doing. I was like, there was so many different avenues and ways of using this platform to monetize it, and I didn't know. So it was like a learning process as I went along. So now I'm teaching other girls how to do it properly and how to utilize it for the most money as possible. Yes. Sorry, but it's true.
And that's a great thing. Like you said, for especially girls, because they aren't really lad mags anymore, are they? And over your career, there would have been, I mean, not that I ever bought them, but there would have been nuts, load. I mean, there was a list.
FHM, Maxim, yeah.
And once they all find your way, yes, yeah. You get paid for a shoot anyway. And like you say, you never actually owned them images.
No.
So why not shoot the content you want, wearing what you want,
exactly.
Own the lot, and get more than just a fee, get, exactly. I mean, that's business, girl.
It makes sense. I'm a businesswoman, so anything that I dip my fingers into, excuse the pun. Yeah.
She knows how to make a coin, does Ashley?
Yeah.
So are you going to planning on doing more of that this year? Is it going to be any sort of reality TV, anything else? I mean, could we see you on this new series of Big Brother? Or are you going to be, I don't know, what...
I'm really worried about it, guys. I don't know, but I mean, listen, whatever ITV touches usually turns to gold, but I just hope it, I really hope it doesn't lose its, or, you know, organicness, for want of a better phrase. But like,
I've heard a lot of people say, and I kind of agree with it, that you don't just want to turn it into another Love Island. You want a broad section of people of all different backgrounds and sort of ages. You know what I mean? And that's what I'm worried about. Is that the kind of thing you mean?
That's exactly what I mean. And I just think society as a whole now, we've got Instagram, everything's so polished, everything's so perfect and airbrushed. Like, I just hope that we get some rawness on there. Mm. Like, I was walking around with no eyebrows and, you know, didn't really care, and just greasy hair and all different ages. I think that's the true Big Brother. And that's where you get a good view on society, not just the perfect looking, you know, contenders like in Love Island. If it's another hookup show, it's not going to be Big Brother, is it?
Do you think it can ever go back to them days? I mean, you know, I love Big Brother. I kind of grew up watching Big Brother. But for me, no shade to Channel 5. Channel 4 was its most organic days before people started getting a bit savvy and a bit, they knew the coup, let's have it right. Do you think the way reality TV is now, even with all the will in the world if the producers go, we want to go back to basics, we want people that don't want to be influencers, are people too savvy with social media and brand deals to ever get that now? Was that just a thing of its time?
This, I do wonder, it's a good question, and I do wonder about that, because even when I went back in for the second time, I felt like the contestants were a little bit savvy, a little bit like looking for the cameras, a little bit like clock, and the whole show, like how it felt, it didn't feel like it felt the first time round. I really, really, really have high hopes, and I really hope that they do get a good spread of people that aren't sort of savvy with it, but I don't know. I think it's a little bit impossible. I say bring back the celeb one, because that's always my favorite, because you know what.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we're all savvy to the industry and we're going to go in there, but you get a good show.
Yeah. And who in January, one of the most grim months of the year, after Christmas, everyone gets their Barclay card bills in and other credit cards all coming. Who don't want to sit there for 3 weeks and watch a load of celebs in and out? Do you know what I mean?
Screaming at each other.
Yeah, bring back the celebs.
Yeah.
Talking of the celeb and you going back in, I don't know how much you're allowed to say, but I know you're always a girl that spills the tea. You know, I love a little bit on the side, and you're that night you was on there with Farrah and it all kicked off and shit hit the fan. What really went down there, Ashley? Because it all had to get cut, didn't it? They had to end the show.
Yeah, I mean, gosh, talk about a showstopper. I get the blame
for
it.
That's why we love you.
I get the blame for it all the time, but actually I didn't push the limit. Farrah did. So she was the one that actually, what did she do? So she called me an old hag. Excuse me. So then, as I've done many times on the show, it's a theatrical show. Yeah. You know, people know what to expect. I've thrown drinks on people before, and it's just taken in banter or, you know, in the jest of the show. So I went to throw a drink. I literally had hardly anything back. Then she got up and went to throw something at me. Then Janice Dickinson got in the way. And then Janice Dickinson jumped up and was like, "Don't you come to Ashling, she's a legend." And they were like, it was mental. It was like a massive pub fight, but nobody was fighting. It was crazy. Things were just getting cut.
Did she jump up? Did she want to try and clump you? Was she brave enough to have a scrap? She can't be that silly.
No.
No. She knew what time it was.
She threw a glass at me.
Yeah. So was you then shocked when it all got pulled off there? Was you a bit like something?
She threw the glass at me and then she called the police. You what, mate? Make it make sense.
It feels like those are like...
Hi, is that the police? Yeah, I just really effed up. I threw a glass at someone.
And did they turn up at Elstree, the police?
Pardon?
Did the police turn up at Elstree?
Oh, do you know what? If they did, I'd legged it by then. I'm not getting it.
She was in the back of her Addy Lee or Crawford's by that point. She was off.
Oh, my God, I'm obsessed. Well, it's been lovely to talk to you, Ashley. Thank you so much.
So I'm going to get sued by someone now. Love it.
Oh, no, you're all good. Don't worry.
Enough time's passed, babes. Enough time. Yeah. You're only speaking your truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Lovely to see you, Ashley. Thank you so much.
Thanks, guys. Lovely to be here. Bobby, you look amazing.
Thank you, babe. Oh, love you, Ashley. See you soon, darling. Bye.
Bye. What a woman. Love her.
Love her.
Right,
what a lovely show.
Yeah, lovely. And we've got our final guest from this series, Love Island, Martin Akinola. So let's get him in.
Let's do it, babes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Martin. You're up. How's it all going over the jet lag?
I've been back for like 2 weeks now, so I'm okay now.
Takes a while though, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does take a while because the first week I think you're so busy. You've got like loads of stuff to do, but now it's getting like a bit relaxed. But I'm literally going off to an event after this course. So.
See, this is the period. Once the show's over, like, it's like all the cast, it's like parties, events, stuff to go through, isn't it?
All that stuff, yeah, pretty much.
How are you feeling about it now it's all over and you've got a little bit of perspective and probably also, you know, that Tanya and Chap didn't win, just saying. But
yeah, I feel like I've got like a couple like weeks to like re-digest the whole situation and really see what went on in the show as when I left. So I kind of get everything. I've got a bigger picture of what really went down. So yeah, I mean, good luck to everyone and everyone involved in it. So yeah.
Does it surprise you that they only got 2% of the votes?
Yes and no. Yes, because I like looking back at it now, and seeing how they're portrayed in the show, like they look like a really strong couple. Yet there was like there was a situation with me there, but I know because obviously, you know, public opinion, what really happened. It wasn't the nicest, like nice thing she did, to be fair. But I mean, it's a game show, do you get me? So things happen, and maybe yes, she was trying to like she wanted to explore options before she went back to him, which I don't think is a wrong thing, but it's just the process she's gone about it that's a bit wrong. But yeah, it's surprising that I felt like they should have had more, but also I'm quite happy that they got to the finals because in a way it justifies me leaving the show.
I did read quite a funny picture that someone had posted online where it's like, can everyone pay attention to Shaq's eyes because it looks like Tanya's drained the life out of him
I felt so bad for him because the producers were messy. They put my video in the montage of their like final bits. Oh, I was like, please leave the couple alone. Let them breathe, guys. Let them breathe. It's over.
Oh, I love it. So, Martin, let's do a little game of predictions because obviously okay. you've lived and breathed it. Right. Who do you think's the first couple to split up? Just going straight in there then. Who's your money on? If I was to say, right, who's breaking up first? Because it's unfortunately it's inevitable, it happens.
Do you know what it is? Is it from the top four or from all the couples?
Let's say from the top four, I reckon.
Top four.
Yeah, top four.
I really, really hope none of them break up. I really
I'm
hope
telling
so.
You now, they will.
Yes, but you know what? I feel like if you've gone through all that in the show, you know, like, and now the public has opinion, I really hope they don't. I really hope it lasts on the outside, to be fair with you. But I know that it's not going to be the case. So if I was a betting man, I'd probably put on Shaq and Tanya.
Fair. Yeah.
But I'm not a gambler, so I'd really be hoping for them to like last long, honestly.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because it's inevitable someone has to be first. And I wonder.
Yeah, someone has to be first, right?
Because they must. I mean, it's hard enough. I mean, coming back to the real world, then having a relationship that everyone's watched from beginning to well, not the end, but the end of the show. Uh-huh. So that kind of adds another element of pressure, doesn't it? So, and everyone consciously, there must be a, oh God, we don't want to be the first to break up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. Someone has to be the first one out in it. But yeah, I think that would be my, because the other couples are really strong. Like, you know, you've got Ron Lana, quite a very strong couple. They've got their ups and downs early in the relationship, you know, but now they look solid. Tommy and Sam, don't even bother about them too. They're not breaking up. Then Kai and Sanam, both like, and they're my friends as well. And I spent a lot of time with them, and I can see like what they've got is real, you know. Like I'd bet like they would be my first, my own, like my bet that they're not going to break up. They'll go distance, in my opinion.
And who would take it worse out of all the couples? So depending on who breaks up first, say celebs go dating, come calling, which they do when couples break up. Out of the partners, who do you think that the shit's going to hit the fan and they're going to kick off most if their recent ex then goes on celebs go dating?
I don't know, you know.
Like, yes, you do.
They don't give me the vibe. They don't give me the vibe that they would kick off. But I'd say it's one of the girls, because girls really kick off with stuff like that anyway. So I'd probably say Sammy. Yeah, she'd be the most pissed off if Tom ever did that. But I don't think that would happen, to be fair.
But you think geezers would just be a bit more, just try and be cool about it and go,
oh, yeah,
whatever.
Yeah, you have to like, oh yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah, crack on. Yeah.
What's it like having become a meme?
I hate it because everywhere I go, someone's offering me a popcorn. I don't like
what's wrong with that?
I don't like popcorn that much, guys.
You want to get your agent on the emails to Butterkist or something. Get yourself a deal.
Do you know what? It is a funny moment, but it was more me like expecting, like I knew what was coming, so I was like, okay guys, you're gonna see what I'm talking about. But yeah, I hate being a meme now, because like I'm literally known as the popcorn guy, and I don't want to be known as the popcorn guy no more. So
no, you gotta ride this wave while it's here. You should enjoy it.
Yeah, you're right.
Looking back, is there anything you would have done differently? I mean,
do you know what? I've thought about that again and again, and not really. There's not much I could have done, really, because I followed my heart. Like, I just went with my gut, like, in the villa. But the producers should have given me a bomb shot early. That's probably the only thing I would have said. But, like, it's out of my hands, because I just did what I had to do, you know, followed my heart and got me there. And I'll do the same thing over again.
Is the reunion... It's live, isn't it? It's not pre-filmed. Or have you
it's live. Yeah, it's live on Sunday, yeah.
Who's your money on? Again, I know you're not a betting man, but it's just it's a banter. It's just a game, Martin. Who's going to kick off the most? Who's gonna stir the pot? Come on, because you must know what the group chat's saying. There must be some people that have got an axe to grind.
I'm not sure, you know. Probably. Do you know what? Yeah. I don't know. I actually don't know. let me think for a second, because someone is going to kick off at me, 100%.
Do you think? Why?
Yeah, I've been saying everything that happened, like, and someone is going to piss at me for talking about their couple. So I know that already. So I don't know. I just don't know who's going to kick off at me first.
How will you react if someone comes for you? Are you ready?
Nah, I'm too chill. Like, do you know what? Because I understand it's reality TV, and I know, like, yeah, man, I can't be arsed. Like,
yeah, you get the gig.
Yeah, like, okay, moving on, next person, please.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably the best way to be, because otherwise you just end up in constant beef with people, especially
pretty much. And yeah, like, I'm not trying to beef nobody. It's just like, it's just TV, innit?
Yeah, exactly. So,
and when you're in interviews, you're going to get asked questions. Yeah. You've kind of got to respond to them.
So yeah, you have to respond to questions.
Kind of
yeah, and I have to give my opinions. At the end of the day, it's no hard feelings to anyone. It's just opinions. It's just like what I think, you know?
Yeah, no hard feelings.
What have you got planned now? Well, you've got the reunion this weekend, right? And then what are you planning to do after that?
For me right now, I'm just more diving into the fashion world, and also probably do some media stuff. So that's currently what I'm exploring. More fashion and media content, you know, things like that.
Nice. So you're planning to kind of go into the influencer world, do you think?
I wouldn't call it influencing. It's more like, in a way it is, yeah, but also in another way it's not really. It's more like I want to really go like Fashion Week and stuff like that. So part of that kind of like, and also working with, like, you know, some of like the fashion brands that I'm into. You get me, working with them in some nice. Some partnership.
So you're going to swerve the collab with Butterkiss then?
Maybe.
I mean, if they come knocking with a million-pound check, you're not going to turn it down.
I'm not going to say no. I'm not saying
no. No, exactly. Tell your agent I want half of his 20% to burn it out.
Well, Martin, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you very much, guys.
Really good. And I hope the reunion goes well and no one comes for you and starts a fight. Let's just...
I wouldn't bet on that, but ready for it.
Best of luck, mate. I'm sure you'll smash
thank
it.
Thank you
nice
very much.
You. Enjoy your event tonight.
Thank you very much. Have a nice day, guys.
Take care, mate. Bye-bye.
It's a funny old world. You must have done a few those sorts of like reunions where you've said something about someone and then you got to see them, and yeah, all a bit awkward. In fact, yeah. You may have had to do it on the show that you used to be on, actually.
Enough of when they're watching your scene and then coming. But the thing is, I'll always own it. You know me. And I would actually rather go to the horse's mouth. I've never been like someone to be a bitch that runs around and would say, I'd rather come to you and say that the X, Y, Z.
You're not really a drama person, despite being on TOWIE and everything that went on and all of that. You're not really someone that attracts drama.
No. Yeah, not at all. Not at all. I don't like someone to make a mug of me, but I don't attract drama. And I'll very much say what I feel and what I think. But some people I think thrive on the drama, but I've just never been that boy, really.
Nah, I don't. Who needs the ag in their life? Like,
exactly.
Not for me.
Why would you just rather not tell the person to their face? Especially and this is what people forget, when you're filming a reality show, they're gonna find out because there's like six cameras recording it. So you might think you're having a private chat with your mate, but you don't think Sunday night they're gonna find out, or a producer's gonna go, by the way, Bobby's just said this in the Sugar Hut. Like, they're gonna find out. So actually, well, be a man or just own it.
Yeah, 100%.
That's my mentality.
Yeah, well, good. Glad to hear it.
Well, bring on Sunday. I'm sure there'll be a few showdowns on the Love Island reunion.
It wouldn't be the reunion if there wasn't some showdowns. The reunion of any show, to be honest. I mean, you watch any of the Real Housewives franchise basically survives on those reunion shows.
I almost prefer the reunions to the series.
Yeah, so you can have it all wrapped up.
Yeah. And I think producers, they're always very strategic on where they sit. So I always think, who's sitting next to who? So that's why I start thinking like a producer next. They, yeah. There's never just, no one's just throwing on a
random,
side.
Yeah.
There's the right. You kind of know what's brewing. Very clever behind the scenes. But yeah, bring on Sunday. So that'll be a Sunday evening live.
Yeah, nice. Well, Bob, you seem to be cutting out, I think. Hold on.
Am I back?
Yeah, I think you're back. Hello. We got you cut out at the end there, but it's all good. We'll make it work.
All good, we'll make it work. Oh, nice show.
Lovely show. And I'm glad we got Ashley on, because it's been a while since we've spoken to her. So great to catch up. Nice show, as I just said. Jesus Christ, what's wrong with me? Until next week, which hopefully we'll be in a studio, but let's not
fingers crossed, guys. A brand new studio,
yeah.
Exciting times.
So I'll see you next week, Bob.
See you next week, babe. Bye, guys.